It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Do As He Says. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Cathedrals with We Shall See Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
As thousands were fed, he touched the blind eyes. He looked and spirits. He moved Jesus had risen.
Being invited to be a disciple. Wow. How would you like Jesus to say to you, come, follow me? Okay, what did the rich ruler do? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Oh, man. He would have liked to have had treasures in heaven. And maybe he would have ran away. Maybe, I don't know for sure whether he really wanted to follow Jesus. But what was the price? That he take everything he owned and distribute it to the poor? Obviously, he went away sad. He wasn't going to pay the price. He wasn't going to give up the material things that he had. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." All right, we have a man here. He was a good man. He'd been obeying the Ten Commandments since his youth. But Jesus immediately read his heart, and he knew what was lacking. The man loved his riches too much. So Jesus knew exactly the way for the man to demonstrate that he was worthy of being a son of God and a disciple. And he said, "Sell everything you have. Give it away to the poor." And then the wonderful words rang out, "And come, follow me." But he would not. He would not. Do whatever he says. And this man was told exactly what to do to have treasures in heaven. Can you imagine? He gave up treasures in heaven for these puny, pitiful things that we can accumulate here on earth. Well, then there was the man in Luke chapter 9, verse 59, that also came to Jesus. And he likewise wanted to know, you know, how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's just go to that. That would be Luke 9, verse 59, if I can remember right. And he had a little problem, too. The one man had riches, but this guy had something that had just happened in his life. Okay, here we go. "And he said unto another," that's Jesus talking, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, that means allow me, first to go and bury my father. So Jesus tells another potential disciple, follow me. That's pretty, isn't that pretty clear? Jesus, follow me. But he said, he responded to Jesus, and he said, Lord, at least he recognized he was Lord, suffer me, that is, allow me, let me first to go and bury my father. Now, that would seem a reasonable request. The man's father just died, evidently. Why wouldn't Jesus go along with that? Of course he would, wouldn't he? Well, let's see what he says. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Wow. What about that? I was talking about this one day with a person. They said, that sure was cruel of Jesus. Oh, wait just a minute. Again, he knows what's in the heart of every man. I suspect, I don't know. I'm not trying to add to the Bible. But maybe this was just a ploy. You know, we always make up excuses. We've always got something. And after he had buried his father, maybe he'd have said, now, Lord, give me some more time because I have to handle the estate. You know, I'm the executor and, you know, and then I have to handle everything, maybe sell my father's house and I have to do all these things. My mother's very distraught. Maybe and now she needs somebody to take care of her. I need to take care of her. And then, you know, go on and on. That's what a lot of people do. Jesus calls them and says, follow me. And they say, well, Lord, I will, but let me do these other things first. Some people actually tell Jesus, well, Lord, I'm having so much fun right now. I'm sinning. I don't want to quit smoking or drinking or taking marijuana or whatever I'm doing or having sex, extramarital or premarital, whatever you're doing. I like to fudge around and tell a few fibs every once in a while. Whatever it is you think you're having fun with. But someday, Lord, believe me, I'll get on my knees and ask for forgiveness. But right now, I'm not ready to do it. It was so important to Jesus when he said, follow me. And this man said, well, I've got to go bury my dad. That Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou, you go and preach the kingdom of God. What's more important? Jesus was making a print. I don't think he was really being cruel. You have to understand these are all symbolic things, but they're real. Jesus was making the principle that nothing is more important than preaching the kingdom of God. Not even burying your dead father. Let the dead bury the dead. And not only that, my friends, if a man follows Jesus Christ, he will be made alive. We're all really dead. If you don't have Jesus, let me just explain something to you. You're already one of the dead. You're a walking dead woman or man. And you're headed for hell. And there's only one way to escape. You understand what I'm saying? You're dead. Everybody who is in sin that's not been forgiven by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, everyone in that state is dead. But you, if you trust in Jesus and have faith in him, in his goodness and mercy, he will make you whole. In other words, he will bring you to life. You will be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Born again. You're made a new person. From the moment you're born into this material world, you're on your way to die. And you will die. And there's another death, and it's called hell. But you can live. You can be born again into a new world, heavenly Jerusalem, heavenly Zion. And there you will live eternally. That's life. You'll be quickened. That means made alive. Here's a principle then. Let the dead bury the dead. A lot of dead people down in hell. I don't know where this man's father was going. But I know one thing, my friends. It is appointed, it says in Hebrews, once to die, afterward the judgment. Everybody, listen, somebody will take care of the dead. We don't know whether a man goes to hell or heaven usually. But in whichever case, there are ushers, there are conductors. Just like you get on an airplane and the hostess, the flight attendant says, go here, sit here. What's your seat number, sir? They'll take care of you. They'll get you there. Let the dead bury the dead. That's a principle, and an important one at that. Now, on the other hand, in verse 61, here's another example. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. You know, I've got guests, or I've got family. I need to go tell them goodbye. And who knows, maybe they throw a big party for him. A goodbye party. Farewell. He's going to go out on the missionary trip with Jesus. I don't know. But listen to what Jesus said, verse 62, chapter 9 of Luke. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. A lot of people start out, my friends. Yeah, I think I'll follow Christ. I'll walk down the altar. I'll get on my knees. But no sooner have they taken that first step than they say, but you know what? This is hard. Because let me tell you something, friends. Every new Christian better face reality. The devil will be angry at you for having shed him and his demons. For having basically defied the devil and said, I'm going to follow Christ. And he's going to be mad. He's going to come at you. Now, you're a born-again person, perhaps, but the devil will say, I'm going to make hash of that person. I'm going to make his or her life miserable. How dare them not to follow me? How dare them, this person, to go and follow Christ? You'll see what I'll do to you. Friends, I know of people who said, Tex, I don't understand it. I accepted Jesus in my life, and now all hell's broken loose. My car breaks down. My pastor's mad at me. He says I'm too religious. He's one of these liberal pastors, and he doesn't understand why I'm on fire for God. Slow down, boy, he says. That happens to a lot of Christians. Even the men and the women of the church, who are you? You know, you're so, you know, religious now. Weren't you the one that was doing all that sinning before? Simmer down. Yeah, you see, they're dead. And you're alive. And they can't stand it. And they team up with demons and try to take you down. Happens all the time. But the devil will make it. I know whenever we're fixing to have a big breakthrough in Power Prophecy Ministries, guess what? The old devil jumps up and says, wow, I can't let that book be published. Man, I can't let that video come out. Goodness, I can't let Tex go and speak to that group. I've got to afflict him with illness. I've got to do something to stop it. Well, you just keep it up. Just say, what did God say? What did God tell me to do? I don't have time for you, devil. Get out of my way. And you go forward with God. And it will make all the difference in your life. Do as he says. A very important principle for successful living. You know, the Bible has so much to say on this subject. And it gives a lot of examples. For example, Jesus decided to call 12 disciples, did he not? And it says in the scriptures, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, also Matthew 4, verse 19, that he saw Peter and Zebedee fishing. And you know what? There they were fishing away. You wouldn't think that he would call fishermen to be his disciples. I mean, they're not important enough. They're just worker bees. Fishermen, what do they know? How could they be wise? Why, he should be calling government officials or bankers or tax collectors or big shots. They would make a good impression, would they not, on people? I think God knew what he was doing. And he told Peter and Zebedee, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There again, we have that. Those fabulous words, come, follow me. And you know what? He did make them fishers of men. And think about that. There Jesus was gathering his first few disciples. And now Christianity has over a billion people, at least, who say they're Christians. I don't know how many are registered in the Book of Life of the Lamb, but a goodly number. All because Jesus called them. said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You say, well, boy, that's interesting how Jesus did that. Well, hold on just a minute. Back then. No, he does that today. Every day, I suspect, Jesus is somewhere in the United States, in your state, in your city, perhaps. And he's voicing the same words. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, another place I like this. If you think you're a failure sometimes, it might be because you're not following Jesus. John chapter 21, verse 3 through 12. You see, Jesus came to the coast there of the sea, and there were his disciples fishing. And I don't have time to go through the whole story, but they hadn't caught a fish at all. How disgusting. Didn't even have anything to eat that night, it looked like. Evening was coming, they didn't have any fish. I know that's happened to me a lot. It usually happens when I go fishing. I get very little. Although there was one giant catfish that kept coming up to the dock when my grandson Daniel and I were out fishing a few years back. Boy, he was a giant thing. But he kept tempting us. He'd come up and we'd try to get him. And my grandson gave him a name, called him Big Tex. Big Tex. But we never did get Big Tex. Oh, he was one of those giant things that got away. Of course, nobody believes me when I tell him how big he was, but he really was that big. Okay, I told you folks I was going to tell you a fish story. And that's my fish story. It's true, though. Big Tex. Daniel, I almost got him several times. In any case, did I say he was a catfish? See, I got so excited because we do have a lot of catfish here in Texas. No, he was a big bass. It was a big bass, though. All right. Want to make sure I'm telling the truth, even though it's a fish story. It was a big bass of fish. Now, Jesus told his disciples, who were very unsuccessful, very unhappy, he said, put your nets over here. You know, they had these nets and they throw out and they brought them back, had nothing. So, you know what? They believed in Jesus. And when he said this, what did they do? They did as he said. They did it. When Jesus tells you to do something, do it. And they did. So they put their nets right in the spot where Jesus said, and guess what? The nets were full. They raked in the fish and they brought them up. And you know what Jesus told them? Okay, now take the fish and, you know, put them on the shore now. And they had plenty of fish. They had so many. I mean, they had a lot of fish. You know, one casting, just as he said, cast your nets over here. They did it, and there were all these fish. And then Jesus said, count them and make sure you count every one. Don't miss a one. And they counted them, and the total came to 153 fish.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.